Sunshine Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local businesses, cheap eats, and yummy treats. And also events that are happening or not happening around town. And places to go and get some fresh air. Go for a walk. And places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians, hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. Welcome to the Wham Bam East Van Show. I'm your host, DJ Medi, and we have a special day today where we have a new volunteer, Michelle. It's her first time on the board. So how does it feel being in the captain's chair, girl?
Hey, pretty exciting. I'm so jazzed to be doing this.
Awesome. So she just played our intro, and now she's got to introduce the station.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cjsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website.
That's right. All right. So we have a few song requests today. And I was talking to he's a friend, but he's also teaching me Spanish.
Wow.
So we're going to play a Spanish song later on today. But we have a request from Connor. And he is our music director here on CJSF. And we're going to play a song called 7 p.m. because, hey, my show starts at 7 p.m. All right. Here we go.
Again, that was Harrison, 7 p.m., birds, bees, the clouds, and the trees. And now we have Cafe Tacuba, Una Mañana.
Son como una flor a mí se entregará. Una mañana digas que no sientes temor. Y cuando salga el sol será una mañana linda, como la flor, como el amor que siempre te
Charlotte, Sister C. And then we have the interview with Sister C and John in the house.
Good morning. It's Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. We just danced our way awake with Soul Mikasa.
Yeah, I'm a young black man who uses art to champion and celebrate blackness, as well as creating art that showcases black men as comprehensive, emotionally intelligent human beings.
Right now, we are going to hear a spoken word rap piece by slam poetry winner JB, the First Lady. That is Lady Johnny Proby singing Don't Quit, and here at Speak Up, we do not quit. Love, laughter, argument, and encouragement. The words are too few for the essence of you. And it shows just one of the ways that you can take feelings of pain and transform them to love and recognition. Today, we're exploring senior issues through digital media and the creative arts. My guests are Leslie Riemann, the director of the 411 Center, and Joel Flynn from PodStream. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, welcoming you to the Friday Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon What You've Heard show. We have conversations about social issues, culture, and creative arts events, potent samplings about special months like Health Month, Black History Month, Women's Month, Nutrition Month, and more. See you Friday at 10 a.m.
Welcome, Charlotte Sister C, to the Wham Bam East Side Show on CJSF 90.1 FM. Please, introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Sister C in the place to be, CJSF.ca. And I'm on the Wham Bam Show, and I love it.
Yay! And we're here with co-host John in the house.
Hello there, this is John in the house. Wham Bam East Van Show.
That's right, and we're here at the beautiful Trout Lake in East Van. So yes, John, you got some questions for Sister C.
Okay, Sister C, what is the name of your show again at CJSF?
Sluhaus.
S-U-L-U-A-U.
Speak up, we speak up, so people can listen up and act upon what they've heard. Sluhaus.
And what time is it on?
Well, we get people's Friday morning going at 10 a.m. Pacific.
So how did you get started in radio? That's a question that I always ask fellow programmers.
It's an interesting story because I love to talk. I love to tell stories. My grandmother, I found a packet of envelope of letters that my grandmother had written my mother while she was taking care of me. She said, Lord, this child talks so much. But I enjoyed telling stories, and I was really working on being a filmmaker. When I moved to Vancouver, mm-hmm. I had done a couple of short films, and being an older person graduating, I didn't get one of those internships, but one day I went to a festival. It was the West Indian Festival in North Vancouver, mm-hmm. and there was talk about Caribbean music you could hear in the afternoon on Saturday. So I thought it was a place, you know, to come and dance. I came, found it was at the station, and they said, oh, we're looking for volunteers. And volunteers have a novel thing happening. They get to work toward having a show of their own. So I thought that was intriguing. I volunteered and came to have a show. So that was my first opportunity to tell stories to people on the radio.
Oh, that's awesome. It kind of satisfies your passion. And so how long have you had your show?
Since 2019.
Congratulations. That's great. Yeah.
Awesome. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Parsons, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Kansas City, Kansas. Went to college in Detroit. And in Detroit, we used to come over for holidays in Montreal. So in 72, when more people were killed in Detroit than in Belfast, my former husband and I said, we don't want our child to be born in this place where we had a government in place in 72 that was similar to the one we had a few years ago when there was a very weird person in charge and was taking away democratic rights. And so we moved to Canada, landed in Canada in 72 mm-hmm. because I felt it's a place that is more aligned mm-hmm. with independence rights.
Yes.
Democracy.
Yes.
Were you talking about Nixon back in the 70s?
Yes.
He's very... wasn't too good because he created the war on drugs instead of maybe trying to look at it as a positive for thing. He put the war on drugs, and it wasn't successful. It was a bad idea. Millions of dollars was wasted on it, and now it's decriminalized, and which it should be, because a lot of the drugs are natural and they can be used for, now they're only discovering that mushrooms helps you know, schizophrenia or, you know, different ailments, and pot is a medicine which helps in tons of different conditions and pain and everything. But it's a system we live under. They set the rules, and they made it a stigma against it. Right?
Well, actually, it was a war. It wasn't even a war, really, on drugs. It was it set up a tier where very rich people could invest in drugs and be protected, and people at the lower end who were selling drugs got multiple years, 10, 20, even more years than people who had murdered people for selling drugs.
It was a...
And it also enabled police forces to have bags of money that they could buy for sting operations. So it made criminals of a lot of people at higher levels of law enforcement because they had so much money to move around trying, supposedly, to stop the drug trade.
That's true. From you knew it, you lived in it. And, well, that's interesting you knew about that. And but let's segue into your show, and what actually do you promote on your show? Do you have musicians? Do you talk?
We have spoken word interspersed with music. And a few months ago, while we were still broadcasting remotely, I started a campaign around 3 P's and 2 C's. And that was to interview musicians and writers around their project, the passion, and their purpose. What they see is their life's purpose. And the 2 C's are if they're affiliated with any cause. And then how do people contact you? Because sometimes when we interview people, they forget to say how to contact you. I have found that we've had some really interesting interviews asking people about their purpose. Because do you believe people have a purpose? Do you believe people are born with a purpose for their life?
I think so. But it's up, like, you have to live to learn about that purpose and discover your passion or whatever. And your purpose in life, but it takes years and years But everyone's different. Some people know right off. Other people have to work at it, try different things. But everyone has a purpose in life. The purpose of life to me is to make other people's life a lot better. Like, you know, to be passionate and to, you know what I mean? Like, just try to be happy and promote positiveness to people so it maybe brightens their life.
Right.
And, yeah. As well as trying to, obviously, as you talked earlier about self pampering and pamper yourself.
Right.
We all have that nature to help other people. But, so that's interesting. Oh, there was another topic we were talking about this back at the hamburger time. You were talking about the eco-forest therapy, or what was that again?
Yes.
Can you explain about that? It's very interesting.
Eco-wisdom.
Eco-wisdom.
There is a program that is funded to help people understand how to be at one with nature, how to benefit from nature. So eco-wisdom, two people who had experienced severe health problems because of the environment, the tones, the sounds, the lack of a balance of the environment. And so from their particular research on making themselves whole, they found in both Canada and in Great Britain, there is now a certification program that helps people learn to become nature guides and accessible well-being trainers. And so one of the things that is taught or included within learning about eco-wisdom is what's called forest bathing. When they first told me forest bathing, I thought they were talking about people who go out nude under the moon. Nothing like that. Forest bathing means immersing yourself in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, it would be scary to go out into a forest to do it. You don't have to go to a forest to do it.
Yeah.
Even though in both British Columbia and in Ontario, 200 acres of land have been set aside for a forest preserve, which preserves animals as well as people living off the grid. But what they have been doing is coming in and teaching groups of people how to learn about trees, how to make a prescription for 2 hours a week. And within that 2 hours, you spend 10 minutes a day just sitting with trees or sitting in a garden and not thinking, oh, I have to trim the tree, or I have to, you know, plant the flowers.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Being in nature. Mm-hmm. And then there's the thing.
Very interesting.
You know, we all have clouds in front of us. I never thought about looking at the clouds. Well, one of the exercises is cloud washing. Now I have videos I've made of the clouds. They're clouds that you see that, like, they're grouping over here and they are moving toward us. They're actually messages that you learn how the clouds are moving, what's happening within the weather, where you can learn, you know, when rain is coming.
I love clouds too. Like, it's amazing. Clouds, they can make shapes of faces.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Mickey Mouse once. I saw letters. It's just weird, the atmosphere, how it moves the clouds around to make shapes and stuff. It's amazing, yeah.
And then with this little device we all have, our cameras, when I started taking pictures of clouds, I saw one night there was a cloud that looked like there was a big pink cloud hugging a blue cloud, and then it looked like it was swirling.
Yeah.
And so I took the picture and I sent it, you know, through Messenger to a few friends. And she said, oh my God, did it hit your house? Because she thought it was a storm. I found it fascinating and also calming. When you have to ride, I'm a passenger, I stopped driving. I drove for millions of years. I was hurt in an accident on the freeway in Toronto. But when you are a passenger, sometimes you can get really impatient or antsy driving.
Yeah,
and watching the clouds is very calming. So that's one of the other things in eco-wisdom, that you can look at any element, you know, whether it's grass, whether it's birds, and just be with that for a while. And some of the things that might have been making you anxious or making you tired get swept away.
Mm-hmm.
Taking time to smile in the mirror.
Yeah.
And smile at yourself.
Yeah. Oh.
Who invented this eco-wisdom thing?
Dr. Carrie, and I right now can't say, remember her last name. And
they, two people who have PhDs that created Echo Wisdom, and then there have been more than six people each year that have been trained and certified in it. At a later point, I'll give you a footnote that's got both Carrie and Dave's name in it, because it has been legendary what they've been able to accomplish in the past 4 years with getting Echo Wisdom as a program where people can be certified, getting a program where people are able of every understanding, what we used to call disability, calling accessibility levels. Some people might have a vision impediment. Others have a hearing impediment. Some people have impediments with their motion. Everybody has something, but like we're in this park today, it's the CJSF picnic.
Yes.
One of the things that people who are able-bodied or more able-bodied than another person might say, well, in order for people who use wheelchairs to walk on these things, they need to be paved with asphalt or something different.
It's
very hard bringing a walker across.
Signage,
you know, this, the directions that we got from Google for how to get here, I can follow it all. My daughter is more skilled than me, but it didn't, it was not very user-friendly in order to actually telling people how to get to the entrance of the park.
If you're in a wheelchair.
If you're in a wheelchair, if you're on a walker, if you have a vision, you know, that we need a better way of giving instructions.
You're very true.
Signage in the park. Signage is important, both for people who are sighted, perfectly sighted, and people who have challenges. Because if I'm sitting here looking to what's over there, the writing is so small, I don't know whether that's a bathroom or what. So even just thinking about larger signage for people who need to be
visually
able to see.
Very good points there.
And so there was one challenge. One part of the course is in, aside from looking at your own self-care, is looking at what does somebody else that you travel with need. Because we just go someplace for ourselves, we pack a bag, we go there.
Right.
But if this hotel or place says it's accessible, what would that mean to you? If it said, hotel said accessible.
It's kind of vague. Accessible for what?
Like
they should have it more defined. Visually impaired, accessible, blind, but accessible means primarily when people think accessible, it's
for
wheelchairs.
Wheelchairs,
that's what people think about. Right?
And so I've had the experience of traveling with three people that had different accessibility needs, and assume that after going with someone on a cruise, it's very accessible. I mean, they've got bars there for a person going into the room to grip the side to get in the door. The bathtubs are larger. There's a warning thing that you can pull outside.
And I saw you posted that on SFU, that they have a warning.
Yes.
Just in case if you fall down, there's a string that you can pull for emergencies, and the security will contact you.
In the bathroom. They're closed in. People can't hear. People are like, help!
SFU, there's a string.
I saw that. That's really thoughtful,
So I thought in mentioning that now, I've called. We had a horrible experience with a hotel that has a very big name, because they were telling me about, we have the new bathroom. We have put this in 26 of the whatever. You don't want to get sued, so I'm not going to say the name of the place yet. I'm writing a paper about it.
And
the bathtub, it would take the stilt. They have this new seat that falls down, so you can sit on the seat.
Yeah.
If you reach forward, it's more than 5 feet.
Oh, so you can't even reach the...
So I had my cane, and I said, Charlotte just fell, and look at the wall. There's no chain for her to pull. So maybe the next day, the cleaning people would discover this person is... It's no way. And then a lot of places, even if they say they're accessible, they have, we've got the accessible bathroom.
But they aren't thinking,
balance. I have personally experienced some differences in balance perception growing younger. The shower is up here.
Yeah.
So if you're looking up, and if a person has any type of a balance issue with their ear or their eyes, you're looking up here. If you get dizzy, you can't reach over here. They've got the handle in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's taking you top-heavy over toward the back wall rather than things on the side that you can grip You grip one hand while your other hand is over your head.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So these are some things now that also within Echo Wisdom, that learning how to advocate for challenges that are different from the ones that you have.
Mm.
And also to be aware if you're traveling with someone and asking more questions, you know, how is... A lot of people today have got motorized wheelchairs, wonderful motorized wheelchairs and scooters.
Right.
But when you get up to the bed, they haven't left enough room for the bed to bring it up and the person to get out. They could get out at the bottom of the bed, but people need to be able to bring the chair up beside the bed to get into the
bed. Oh, in hotels and stuff?
Yeah. So again, this place was bragging about, we've got the new accessible bathroom.
Wow.
All right, well, let's see
what it's like. And
what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled with someone who had a terrible experience with the trains, because the family had called and they asked, you know, as we're going along the way, are there people to help the person get off the train with their scooter? Because most people, many people who have mobility challenges want to be independent. They want to be able to travel by themselves. So they assured, you know, my friend's family, yes, we've got people at the train who help people get off. With wheelchairs and scooters. Lo and behold, we got to the place. She was driving the scooter off. There was somebody at the top, but Amtrak standard is that there's also supposed to be somebody at the bottom in case it tips. There was nobody at the bottom.
Oh my gosh!
The scooter toppled off that thing with her, hit her and damaged the scooter. So again. And then as a person traveling with somebody, you have to keep asking questions.
Yes.
Because sometimes people don't always follow the directions.
Yeah.
And here, I think we as... Everybody has something. And so a lot of times people will say elderly disabled. There are people within every age group that have
that are disabled
vehicles
too,
or have devices that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
We as a radio station have got things to assist people. But even more, the way that Echo Wisdom has its forest bathing classes, workshops for the public, they talk about being aware that there are devices to help a person. If they're talking and if they're hard to understand, there's a machine. Somebody can be working on a machine that clarifies what they say. They have closed captioning. Now Zoom has added where any person can activate closed captioning.
I see. So you can see what read what they're trying to
I
say.
I have a little story. Like I put a show on at the Roxy with a band called Bobby's Cane. He's visually blind from when it was like five, I think the blindness came. But he's very gifted, plays guitar, piano, and produces his own music. And when I was visiting him once, he lives in New West, and he was on the phone, and he was going like this on the phone, and it would cue him with words. Oh, one, two, or their name, and then he knew he's trying to get to someone's on the phone book, I guess. And then when he gets to that, then he knows. It's amazing how they can function and like I just saw how he did like doing the phone. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. So let's talk about the neighborhood. Okay, so you live close to Commercial Drive. Tell me about what you like about Commercial Drive. Any restaurants you go to? Any shops?
There's a shop. I don't know the name of the shop. There's a shop that has everything made with cotton. And they have got a lot of... They give out a free cloth that has embroidered in it, I'll be kind of trees. They have T-shirts. They have a lot of clothes that have got nature messages on it. And as well, they feature, you know, again, cotton as a natural product.
Yes.
Britannia Community Center is over there.
Yes, Britannia,
It's a wonderful place for meetings. For 3 years, I did a podcast called Powered by Age.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to different community centers to recruit older people who wanted to take part.
Yeah.
And Britannica was very supportive and let me have a meeting and a presentation there. Members of the group Quirky, which is an organization of queer elders, writers.
Mm.
And so, you know, I love it. And the pool is a place that I play.